Good afternoon, everyone. My talk on non-medical exemptions in the current epidemiology of measles in the U.S. will be covered under the following topics: history of immunization laws, impact of non-medical exemptions, measles epidemiology 2008, challenges and future directions. The U.S. has a long history of immunization laws, beginning in 1809, when the state of Massachusetts required population to be vaccinated against smallpox. In 1905, the Supreme Court upheld rights of the state to pass compulsory vaccination law. In 1922, Supreme Court upheld law requiring vaccination for school entry. It was during 1960s and 1970s that school immunization laws used to enhance measles elimination efforts. U.S. school immunization laws are legal requirements that children have received vaccinations as a condition of participation in school. They are all state laws but vary markedly by state. They are specific for grades and vaccines and cover public and private schools, but they may not cover homeschool children. School immunization laws are incentive for parents to vaccinate their children to protect the public health. They are a system or a safety net for immunization. They are extremely effective in achieving very high immunization coverage in school populations, and they help in reducing or eliminating vaccine-preventable disease in these populations. Following introduction of measles vaccine in 1963, reported measles cases declined rapidly. During the 1970s, the predominant age group affected by measles was school-aged children, and schools were the site of transmission. It was the control of real disease which spurred school law efforts. The schools also played a crucial role in the 1989-91 measles resurgence when a second dose of MMR vaccine was introduced and recommended in 1989. By 2000, measles was declared eliminated from the U.S. In 1961, the first philosophical exemption law was introduced in California as an exemption to polio vaccine. It was during the early 1970s that the universal implementation of state laws offering medical exemptions based on religious grounds occurred. Exemptions to these school entry laws exist because school participation is required by law in the U.S., but not all children can be vaccinated to meet the requirements of these laws. Exemptions allow school participation, which is legally required for those unable to be vaccinated. The exemptions also serve as an escape valve for school laws. There are four types or categories of exemptions which are permitted for school entry. The first is medical exemption, which is used for children with medical contraindication to vaccination. Exemptions are also allowed for people who have deeply held religious belief in opposition to immunization. Philosophical exemptions allow parents to decline immunizations for their children because they personally object to one or more vaccinations. Vaccination in progress exemptions are granted on a temporary basis for children who may be in the process of receiving vaccinations, but who are not yet up to date because of the timing of the vaccine schedules. Currently, all 50 states allow for medical exemptions and 48 for religious exemptions. Far fewer, 20 states, allow for personal or philosophical exemptions. Philosophical exemptions are associated with more exemptors. During 2000 to 2003, Salmon and colleagues conducted a study which demonstrated that states that allow philosophical exemptions to school entry laws have significantly higher rates of exemptions than states that do not. In Massachusetts and Missouri, the states that do not permit philosophical exemptions, the overall state reported proportion of exemptions was 0.4 to 0.6%, which you can see in the last column. While the states that allowed philosophical exemptions, in this case Colorado and Washington, this proportion was considerably higher, exceeding 2%. In addition, various studies have shown that exemptors are at a higher risk of developing the disease than vaccinated children. The excess risk of measles among exemptors was greatest among children aged 3 to 10 years. More importantly, the incidence of measles among vaccinated children aged 3 to 10 years of age was significantly associated with the frequency of exemptors in the county. Salmon et al. Found that from 1985 through 1992, exemptors in all states were 35 times more likely to contract measles than non-exempt children. And in Netherlands, exemptors were 224 times more likely to acquire measles than vaccinated. Paradoxically, more cases of measles were reported from vaccine-accepting individuals living among unvaccinated clusters than from personal belief exemptors who lived among vaccinated individuals. I shall now talk about measles epidemiology in 2008 pertaining to the exemptors. During 2008, 140 measles cases were reported from 19 states and DC. Of the 127 measles cases in US residents, 116 or 91% of cases were either unvaccinated or had unknown vaccination status. Of the 116, 98 or 85% were vaccine eligible, of which 67 or 68% were personal belief exemptors. This slide summarizes the number of measles cases reported every year that are due to direct importation and cases where spread is indigenous, usually via secondary spread from one of these importations. The green line shows a ratio of indigenous to imported cases that are not imports. One of the major differences between the epi of measles in 2008 compared to what we saw in 2001 to 2007 is that the ratio of indigenous to imported cases was higher in 2008. The green line shows how the ratio of indigenously acquired cases has increased up to 5.8 in 2008 compared to a ratio of 0.4 to 1.8 from 2001 to 2007, reflecting the higher spread of the virus within unvaccinated communities in 2008. Another important observation during 2008 was that measles cases occurred primarily in children and adolescents, including 17 cases in children under the age of 12 months for whom vaccine is not yet recommended. These children count on the herd immunity that others provide to protect them from the disease. Of note, 80% of measles cases in 2008 were in persons who were under the age of 20, of whom 56% are covered by school immunization laws. This graph emphasizes the point that a higher proportion of cases aged 5 to 19 years, shown in the purple line, claimed personal or religious belief exemptions during 2008, 93% in 2008 compared to 0 to 87% from 2001 to 2007. Of note, during 2005, as seen here, there was a large outbreak of measles in Indiana that was focused in a community with religious and personal objections to vaccination, the largest measles outbreak so far in this decade. I will next highlight three outbreaks of measles in pockets of unvaccinated school children. In 2005 in Indiana, an outbreak of 34 cases occurred in which there were 3 hospitalizations. Of the 34 measles cases, 28 were school-aged children, of which 20 were homeschooled. The public health costs incurred approximately $167,000. Early in 2008, an outbreak of 12 cases occurred in San Diego. This included 4 children who were exposed in a pediatrician's office, 3 of whom were less than 12 months of age. Of the 12 cases, 7 were school-aged children. None had been previously vaccinated because their parents also had objections to the vaccination. The public health costs incurred in this outbreak was approximately $177,000. Washington State experienced an outbreak that resulted in 19 cases, including 16 school-aged children, 11 of whom were homeschooled. None of these were vaccinated, all personal belief exemptors. Public cost incurred approximately $140,000. If you look at the vaccine coverage in these 3 states, as you can see from the first 2 rows, the MMR dose, 1 and 2 doses, is approximately 90% and above. And statewide, between 0.6 and 5.9% of the children, as seen in the last row, attending kindergarten report having religious or philosophical beliefs. Again, it is important to note here that the states use a variety of different methods in their kindergarten surveys. For example, both Washington and California include homeschooled children in their surveys. And in Indiana, religious exemptions are legally acceptable while philosophical objections are not. So based on these data, we might not feel too concerned about the number of cases of measles we have seen in the past year. But this may be somewhat misleading. For example, on this Washington state map for classes kindergarten through grade 12, there's considerable variability in exemption rates among the counties, some as high as 10% as seen, especially in the areas that are colored brown. So these outbreaks raise an important question. Why do parents choose not to vaccinate or immunize their children? A survey conducted by Kennedy during the Indiana outbreak in 2005 among a religious group found that 67% thought the vaccines were not safe or that it was not necessary for health. 50% had personal or religious objections. They preferred natural infection or had taken the advice from an alternative healthcare provider. 33% had fear of getting the disease from vaccine. More studies are needed to understand these issues and prevent outbreaks described in the previous slides. To summarize, school immunization laws play a crucial role in measles and rubella elimination in the US. During 2008, the largest number of measles cases were reported in over a decade. The epidemiology of measles was characterized by a high proportion of cases among unvaccinated US residents, a higher proportion of cases in school-aged children whose parents have claimed exemptions, and many of them who were homeschooled children. So what were our ongoing challenges? Although the US has maintained elimination with large measles outbreaks occurring in highly traveled developed countries and unvaccinated populations clustered geographically, the US remains at a risk of more measles outbreaks. To maintain elimination, it will be necessary to maintain a high two-dose vaccination coverage rate. As seen in 2008, the possibility for large outbreaks exists, and hence it is necessary to monitor the impact of vaccine exemption on vaccine coverage and understand trends and reasons for vaccine exemptions. We would also need to understand the effect of school immunization laws to measure exemptor rates and to identify communities at risk. What are our future directions? We must continue to monitor trends in the US of measles and other vaccine preventable disease, personal belief exemptors, and vaccine preventable disease in personal belief exemptors. We need to determine knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs of exempt and non-exemptor population, and homeschool children may be an important population to study. I would like to acknowledge everyone on this slide, especially the state, our state and local health partners who have helped in maintaining the elimination of measles. I'd also like to thank Dr. Gallagher who graciously allowed me to use her slides. Thank you.